called a player whisperer, which I presume means that you have an exceptional ability when it comes to, you know, really communicating and gaining the trust. You talked about trust earlier of your young hockey players. I'd love for you to give coaches advice because, I mean, all of us have dealt with coaches and some have been just wonderful experiences. And it's such a part of our culture, you know, in every sport. You know, we put our kids in the hands of these coaches from the time they're, you know, 5, 6 years old. And it can be a really amazing experience. But I would love for you to give some coaching advice to those coaches. Like, here's the secret. Here's what you need to stay focused on. Because you're right. It takes one bad experience of a coach yelling at you or just doing, the wrong thing and losing sight of what it's all about.
Exactly. Well, first and foremost, the biggest thing for sure that I would encourage any coach to be able to look at is to line up, find the belief in whoever it is that you're dealing with, right? Find the belief that lines up with their belief, right? Be mindful of not trying to infuse your belief into what you want the child or the athlete to believe. And that is a very particular nuance that is so important in the relationship building process with the athlete or any high performer. Because what most experts or authority do is, wow, I have this belief internally and my bias thinks, wow, if you did this, you could be amazing. And you're not aligning it though with, well, what do they naturally believe about that part of the process? So that would be the first thing that I would encourage is recognizing, are you doing the work necessary to dig in and really learn about this human being and understanding what they believe about themselves? How do they perceive what they're trying to achieve? How are they seeing it in their own head first? And then you build your belief on top of that. Get to the core of how they view it, and then now start to build your strategy and plan around that. And so, you know, the next part I would highly recommend is, and what's funny is I came across this science and didn't realize I was always naturally doing this, but it's a concept called motivational interviewing. And what the idea behind it is that you're working as a guide. So in it, and this is where we got a lot of power in our process. And so there's a great book, I believe it's called Coaching Athletes to Be Their Best, that if anybody wants to go and dive a little bit more into it. But basically what the idea behind motivational interviewing is, I'm asking you questions and I'm guiding you to get out of you, what do you think? How do you see this part of your process? How do you see this working out? And then the athlete gives you back what they think. And then you reiterate back to them their words, their language. Oh, so you see it this way. Yes, that's how I see it. Okay, so how do you feel about that? What do you think you could do about that? And literally, I spend hours, years having conversations just like that. Is that all the tools and everything that we build around is, you know, I tell anyone that comes to us privately is that act as if I'm your second brain. I'm an extension of your brain. Because what I'm doing is I'm going to get out from you what you're saying and what you're believing. And then I'm going to help to clean it up so we can articulate it clearly in how you see it. But again, these are your words, not mine. And I fight very hard to make sure that that clarity with anyone we work with is there. And that is such a big part of coaching anyone today is that you don't want to take and put in their minds what you think they should believe or what you want them to believe. It's, what do you believe? What do you think about this? And then working really hard to take whatever they naturally see and think to keep on reiterating back to them and make sure that they understand that they truly believe that. Because if they do, then guess what? You're going to change your behavior. You're going to then continue to maintain and sustain what you believe you know is your truth. Because once Pandora's box is open and you see the truth, we can't undo it. And that's the secret sauce, right? Is that we can't go and undo what is naturally you are experiencing in your own vehicle and you're feeling it happening. Like you can sense that it's going on, and the truth is the truth. Like, your reality is showing you, the evidence based on the history of your experience is showing you that I said this and yes, it's working, or I said this and no, it's not working. Great. So let's adapt and work through that. And so those would be where I'd work very hard as a coach to make sure that you're doing the work necessary to recognize in your own process, to recognize how you're strategically building out the nuances of that process, because that's at the fundamental core of being able to work in the context of a human being who's a part of a family, a team, a company, any collective environment, being able to help them clearly identify what that thing is to them of their natural source of belief, and then teach them how to understand how to flow with what else is around them. You can't get to that without doing that work initially. So then you know clearly how they're perceiving everything, because then it makes the collective so much easier to deal with.
And I think sometimes we forget how, when you're a kid, little stuff seems really big, and even kind of scary stuff seems really scary. And I'm thinking back to Little League Baseball, just being petrified of getting hit by pitches because some of the big kids could throw so fast. But you know, these exactly. coaches, though, you're right, though. I mean, if a coach really drills down and understands that, oh, Mark is really afraid of this part of the game, or he loves this part of the game, then you can start to lay out some coaching that will get them over the hump, right? Not just, hey, stop turning your head, exactly. you know, stop pulling your head when you're fielding ground balls, or stop doing this or that.
Exactly, right? Like, we fight against the nature of somebody's thought process. And it's so ridiculous, because the irony is how much easier it is that, you know, on the front end. So, you know, I've had coaches, Division I coaches, you know, professional coaches say to me, like, wow, it sounds like a lot of work that you're doing. I'm like, yeah, on the front end, the first 3 to 6 months, oh yeah, a lot of work. But then after that, you have no idea how much easier life becomes on the back end. And we're dealing with super complex, nuanced issues that are going on. But because we did this work that was so important in understanding their just natural thinking process, it now makes it so much easier. As opposed to, you know, one of my favorite stories, you know, that I've shared before is that, you know, Claude Julien. So he coached Boston Bruins, Montreal Canadiens. He'd been around for a while. And so I had him as my coach when I was 19, 20, you know, playing junior hockey. And the one thing that he recognized, which was just brilliant, was I kept going from the right side of the ice. I was playing wing, and I was on the right side, right winger. And what he recognized was, in the first 20 games of playing for his team, I kept on moving naturally to the left side of the ice. There was just something I just wanted to keep going to the left side. I just loved going to that left side. And the first 20 games, you know, I put up about 8-9 points, you know, decent. And he goes, you know what? We're going to put you on the left side, because you know what? You just want to go there. You love going there. Let's just put you there. Clearly, it's just how your brain works. Cool. Puts me there, and boom. The next 20 games, I put up about 19, 20 points, go into the playoffs, have an incredible playoffs, get drafted, all that stuff happens. And so what I recognize, and what I always give back when you think about it, right, is that what you said earlier, right, that staying away from what you suck at, it's the thinking process of, he recognized in the moment, you naturally keep thinking to go do this pattern over here. So let's just put you over there, because why fight against your nature of how you're seeing it? Let's put you there and see what happens. And that, to me, is the work, organizations, teams, that human beings, for the most part, in leadership positions, suck at doing. They're very much driven on my ego, what I see for you, because I have to fix you. It's my role and responsibility to fix you, as opposed to, you know what? Let me recognize, wow, you're really, okay, that's what, you're really good at that. Oh, that's how you naturally see it. Okay, so you know what? Let's maneuver you into this position as a leader, because I know that if I put you there, it's going to make this whole thing work so much better together, right? It's like a symphony, right? It's the orchestrator. It's the chef. It's knowing, how do I make it taste delicious? It's those things, right? And that's leadership today, right? It's, do you do you have the ability to recognize how to take a human being and say, wow, you're naturally thinking like this. Let's put you into this position because there you're going to be awesome, as opposed to, no, I want you to be obedient. I want you to do it this way. And it's just like with high performers, with high achievement, good luck. Good luck telling a human being that already knows they have capabilities, and now you're trying to tell them to go be something else. Good luck with that.
I love it.